Welcome to Take It Up, the official podcast of Octave Music. On this episode of Take It Up, we interview Zach from Mythos Pedals. Mythos is a pedal brand located in Nashville, Tennessee, that is known for making awesome drive pedals. It has quickly become one of the most popular pedal brands that we have at Octave Music. Zach, welcome to the Take It Up podcast.
How's it going? Happy to be here.
It's going great. So one of the things we like to do on here is find out how you got started in music. So how did you get started?
Just in music in general?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd always loved music growing up, and no one in my family played any instruments, like no parent or, you know, anyone like that did. My sister started playing piano when she was a kid, and then we both got into band. But when I was 14, I really wanted a guitar. So my dad drove me to the neighboring town, because I was in a really small town with no music stores. So we went to the neighboring town, and I got my first guitar and was off to the races.
Yeah. So what band instrument did you play?
I played trombone.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I played trombone from middle school all the way through high school. And I was going to join in college, but I was pretty lazy by that point, but
you were into guitar at that point, right?
Yeah, I was on to more treble clef instruments.
Yeah. So what was your first guitar?
My first guitar was a PV Raptor, which is like a Strat copy.
Yeah.
And it's a funny story, I've told it a few times, but when my dad took me to this place, my dad's sold insurance, and so he did their insurance for this music shop, and he'd known them for years and years, and they were like, hey, you know, Steve, we have like an old guitar in the back if you'd want to look at that. And my dad was like, yeah, sure, get it out. And they handed it to me, and it was probably like a 69 or 70 like white Fender Strat. It looked just like Jimmy's, you know, big headstock. And right. I knew it cost a lot more money, and it weighed a lot. And I like told my dad, I'm like, no, it's too heavy, don't worry about it. And so he didn't buy it for me when he like was offering. He's like, let's get this, this is way cooler. But dumb kid. But yeah, that was my first guitar, was the PV, and a little PV like backstage amplifier.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Right. Did you get into pedals right away, or?
No, I mean, like, this was 1999. So, you know, the only pedals that were out were, of course, like, you know, Boss and Ibanez and, you know, Digitech and stuff like that, or Dodd, DOD or whatever.
Yeah.
So there wasn't like, you know, the pedal craze hadn't really hit yet. So like my first pedal was a Wah, I think. And then I got an Ibanez Smashbox, part of the Tone Lock series.
I remember those.
Yeah, it was genuinely horrible. but those are my first two pedals, and I rocked those for a long time until the switch on that Ibanez pedal finally died.
It finally wore out.
Oh yeah, have you ever seen the switch on those things?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's microscopic.
Right. So you actually, you worked at a vintage guitar shop. How did you start that?
Yeah, I worked at Carter Vintage Guitars here in Nashville. And, I had moved to town, and was working for my dad. He, in addition to doing insurance, the family business was selling Christmas lights online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we sell lights, you know, like light strings, and then like gigantic Christmas trees, like everything you'd need for like commercial or, you know, residential. And so I was doing that, just working at home, but I was like really bored. And so I would go to Carter all the time and just hang out so that everyone knew who I was. And I asked Christy, I was like, hey, you know, are you guys hiring? Would you like any part-time help? Cause I do website stuff, and you know, your website's a little tired.
Right. Right.
And she was like, I don't know. And as I was standing there, someone came up and asked her a guitar pedal question. And I took them aside and like showed them everything and like sold a pedal like right in front of her. And I looked at her and I was like, you have my number.
how about now?
Yeah. So that's how it started. And I worked there, I think from August of, or April of 2015 till December of 2017.
Had you started building pedals by that point or?
Oh yeah. So that was, the first pedal I ever built under the Mythos moniker was in 2010, but you know, that was just for fun. And I think even when I started working there, I'd already consigned a few Mjolnirs and stuff and the old big boxes. But it was definitely not, anywhere close to being a full-time or even a part-time thing. It's something I did a couple times a month, not a huge focus.
Yeah. What got you into actually starting to do that?
Well, I the pedals were selling slowly at Carter and I just kind of got the itch and, I think probably before, it was probably in 2014, maybe 2013. I can't remember. I made Joey Landreth a Mjolnir and, he started using it and he got on that pedal show. And then I gave, Rob Chapman one and he said, on a video that people should watch the brand. And then my wife was
right,
you gotta actually do this cause you're good at it. And so in 2015, late 2015, early 2016, I started taking it way more seriously.
Right. Yeah. I remember meeting you up in Minnesota when we had that, that Chapman event. And, I think, even then I'm I definitely want to bring your brand into our store. And,
yeah.
And so, and it's been great ever since then.
So much has changed since then.
yeah, it has. So what made you think that, that you could take the brand and make it into a sustainable business?
Well, it was purely a hobby. Even when I started taking it more seriously, what I did is I went to the bank my wife and I, we sat down and I was like, so this is what I'm going to do. I want to go to the bank. I'm going to open another account. I'm going to put $1,000 in it. And if I spend all that money and I never make any back, then it's done. But if I can sustain the business off that, then we're just going to keep on going until that money runs out.
All right. Shoestring it from there.
Right. But it just kept, being consistent and I kept being able to buy more parts and keep reinvesting myself back into the business from that $1,000. And so, it really came down to the quantity of pedals I was selling a month, as well as, being able to financially support myself and eventually my family. I had a number in mind. If I can sell this many a month, then I can quit my job. If I sell this many a month, then, Morgan can quit her job. It's this is what we need to survive. And eventually we started hitting that. And so I said, let's do it.
Awesome. Is she still helping you do the assembly work on those?
As much as she can. Yeah. We just bought a house out. We're actually further away from Nashville now. We're out in Hendersonville. But it all feels very, just suburbs of Nashville. But
right.
We have almost a 1.5-year-old. And so he is very much a full-time job. But late at night.
I understand that.
Yeah, of course. So late at night, she'll come out and sometimes she'll help me populate boards. And she'll stamp boxes and help me pack and run things to the post office. And all that stuff is just invaluable. I couldn't, just going to the post office is so taxing sometimes.
Oh, I understand. when we have stuff to ship out, sometimes my wife helps and it's awesome to have them on your team.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So how much do you think, how much do you see that social media has played a role in the popularity of Mythos?
Oh, it's the reason why I'm sitting here talking to you. It's the reason behind everything. I mean, for me, when I started, I don't even think Instagram existed. You know, I had a Facebook and I would sell stuff on eBay. And then when I started giving it more of a try, I started doing a little bit of the Instagram thing and trying to connect with YouTubers. And that has been really my main focus. And it has been such a integral part of building a brand. And my philosophy, I think, is a little different than some other brands, so far as like how I present myself, because I kind of operate Mythos, at least my Instagram is like my personal account. And then every other post, I try to sell something.
know? Right.
Which I think is, you know, I think that's really helped me. But being active on social media every day is, it can be make or break for a brand or a business.
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly enjoyed some of your live feeds on Instagram. And it's just, you know, it's fun, and you get to see a little behind the scenes of what's going on with Mythos and you know, what your thought process is on a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, I always said to myself, I want to be completely honest and not sugarcoat anything, but just, you know, be available for people to talk to about things. And, you know, I try not to do that. You know, if people ask me like, do you like this? Like I don't like strats, and I get a lot of flack for it, but people ask me opinion about strats and I'm like, I don't like them.
I don't like them. Well, you know, we all have our things,
right? Yeah. You can say I'm wrong, but you know, that's okay.
Yeah. I think recently I just watched you with a YouTube video with Brett Scholl.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting to, you know, again, it's kind of a behind the scenes of, you know, what your thought process goes into to building the pedals and everything from, you know, quality and actual, you know, build, like, you know, kind of like your strategy behind it.
Yeah. He came in and, you know, he wanted to shoot in the garage where I build everything. And it's just a garage, you know, it's nothing nice to look at yet.
I think there's a few famous computer companies I started off.
That's very true. But he, I was like, should I go get my like lighting and like make this look nice? He's like, no, it's perfect.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I think, and for me, and as, I mean, all brands do this in some form or another, but being able to make those sort of connections with guys like Rhett and like RJ and like Rob and, you know, Danish Pete, Fred Anderton's, all these people, like, has, you know, if you make one friendship and, you know, they use something and show it on a video, then that can just open you up to so many different people. And it's so crucial, I think, for people to do that. And at least, you know, just be nice and start a friendship and never have it be all about the business. Just try to make friends.
We'll get back to our interview shortly. At Octave Music, we want to help you make your next note. We have popular instruments including guitars, woodwinds, and brass. We also have a wide variety of musical instrument accessories. We believe that music is a lifelong pursuit and that you can begin making music at any age. Check us out today at www.octavemusicstore.com. And now back to our interview.
So speaking of music, what are you listening to these days?
Well, you know, I'm listening to the new Brothers Landreth record, 87, which just came out. I've had it for a while, but I'm still listening to it.
Of course.
And, you know, really, it's kind of weird. Like the majority of my time when I'm building, which is, you know, most of the time I'm alone, I'm watching a lot of YouTube and, you know, and I watch things on Netflix and whatnot, but I don't listen to a whole lot of music. Because most of the time spent in the car, I'm either like talking, you know, to friends or family on the phone while I drive, you know, to get mail or whatever, or I'm just in silence. But I don't know, like I do have a Spotify, and I think, let's see, Sister Sparrow, which is a cool band. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I have not heard of
Sister
them.
Sparrow. They're a female fronted band, and they do some like cool bluesy and some poppier stuff. But them, Local Natives, They are a really cool, you know, kind of poppy rock band. A lot of like really fun hooks and melodies. It's stuff like that. I don't know. I listen to a very wide swath of music, but I don't know. I don't listen to as much as I should.
Yeah. Do you think any of the newer music is affecting like how you're trying to make your pedals sound, or?
Not really. I mean, you know, I think the thing that most people want these days in regards to like doing modern like performance and stuff is like feature sets. Whereas, you know, like back in the day, you got a delay, it had three knobs on it. But now if you say, I'm going to make a delay, and everyone's like, well, it needs to have presets and it needs to be MIDI compatible and have all this stuff. And, you know, like those are the things that you see people wanting, because, you know, everything these days is a little bit more regimented, so far as like all the tempos have to be perfect. Everything has to be locked in.
Right. Pre-programmed to click track and all that kind of
good
stuff.
And to me, I'm a little too punk rock to like really care about that, because when I'm thinking about new sounds, it's usually not inspired by new music, but and a lot of times it's not inspired by old music. It's just like I have a sound in my head or an idea that I want to actualize or something like that.
Yeah, and just trying to capture that.
Yeah.
So obviously the new delay pedal is coming here pretty soon. And, you know, how much of that is trying to balance what you were talking about as far as having, you know, when do you decide that, oh, hey, we have enough options.
Right. Well, that was something that I had to kind of find a balance from the beginning, because one thing I do on Instagram is I do, whenever I'm trying to design something, I'll do a poll because, you know, everyone that has liked my channel for one reason or another, is some sort of fan, or at least hopefully they're a guitar player and they have valuable input. And the suggestions went from the most mild and boring to the most extreme. And so from the very beginning, I tried to figure out like, what can I offer that, you know, is going to meet the basic needs of a good delay pedal, like have a good sound, have a good feature set. And, you know, how far do I want to take the modernness of it, you know? So it had to have a tap, and I wanted a tap from the beginning, even if it was going to be just like three knobs. I wanted it to have a tap. But I didn't ever in the beginning think I want to have subdivisions, but it was something easy for my designer who I hired to do, Neil from Dr. Scientist, who's like a wizard of all things like digitally programmed. So like adding the subdivision thing was very important to me. And that really, you know, I didn't really want to take it any further than that, because I feel like all the things I make are made for like guitar players who are ready to play guitar and not people looking to have like a spaceship at their feet.
Right. Well, and there's certainly lots of other companies that, you know, do all those other kinds of things. And, you know, for Mythos, you know, primarily you've been about drive pedals. So to make that next step into other kinds of pedals, I'm sure is a big undertaking.
Oh, yeah. And the manufacturer of this pedal is going to be, I mean, it's completely different than anything I've ever done. And, honestly, I think I've priced it too low, but I've already said how much I was going to try to sell it for. And so I feel like
kind of stuck, like, right?
Well, you know, this won't make that much money, but yeah, cause it's a completely different construction. It's surface mount. It's got, microcontrollers and a big digital brain. And, like the company that's helping do my circuit boards, cause I can't hand solder it. There's just no way I would go insane. They're doing some programming, and then after each pedal is fully assembled, I have to completely program the microcontroller that tells like the tap tempo how to work, and like tells it to, when you unplug it, to save what the last like tempo was. And so all these things have to be done, and I never factored that in when I was like pricing. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is going to take like a long time to just make one pedal work. And right, there's a lot of things that can mess up.
Yeah. Do you think the pedal market is at some point becoming too oversaturated with different brands, or do you think there's always room for people to develop within that?
You know, I think there's always room for people to like come into the market. And I get asked this a lot, you know, by small guys who are just starting out, like, how do I do that? And, you know, I think the hardest thing about entering this market is establishing an identity and having an ethos about what you're trying to do. But it's funny, like, as many people as come in, every now and again you'll see like some bigger guys kind of, you know, taking a step back or stopping what they're doing, and you know, the industry determines what is going to succeed or fail in a way, you know. But I think there's still room for people to like come in and play this game, but you know, it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah. It seems like it'd be a very hard business to get into, but it also seems like there's quite a large community of builders that support each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one thing that's kind of cool about this scene is that we don't really have a lot of secrets, and like there's, you know, sure there's rivalries between some guys and animosity between some guys. I don't feel like I have that, but you know, if I have a problem and I can't figure it out and I think, I bet Josh Scott from JHS would know how to fix this, I'll just call him. And he's like, yeah, let me email you a schematic, you know?
Yeah, it does seem that like there's a lot more collaborations these days between different manufacturers.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, how many times can you do the same thing over and over and over?
Right.
And that's where I think you see more things succeeding is like Keeley used to be all about the single, like, you know, three knob overdrive or standalone unit. And now, you know, they make all these cool, like 2-in-1 pedals and all this, you know, amazing stuff. And like, I think that's really smart. And I think it's really, you know, a way to keep a brand in the forefront of people's minds, you know, instead of saying, oh, here's another overdrive, you know, saying, oh no, here's an overdrive with a reverb and an echo all in one box. It's like, ah, cool. You know, and those kind of things I think are really cool, for sure.
Yeah. I think it's at some point it's about, you know, ultimately it's about the music that the musician's making. And if you can help them have some sort of tool that helps them create that, I mean, it just makes sense.
Oh yeah. And you know, there's a fine line you have to walk between like what you like, you know, cause we're all a little predisposed or biased to make things that we want to play. And I definitely fall into that. I'll never make a compressor because I genuinely don't like compressor pedals. I don't have time for a compressor pedal. But like people ask me all the time, like, hey, will you make me a compressor? And I'm like, you know, if I wouldn't play it, I'm not going to try and sell it to you. Someone else will. But like, if I can't like completely back something I'm doing and just make something to make something, that totally goes against the grain for me.
All right. One more question. What is coming up for Mythos that you're excited about and can share?
Well, I'm doing a lot of collaborations with some YouTubers. So I'm working on a pedal with RJ. I can't really say anything other than I'm working on it.
Sure, understand.
And I'm doing the same with Rhett Schull. And again, I can't really say anything about it.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I am working on, again, like trying to break out of the overdrive fuzz realm. I want to do a modulation or some sort of vibrato or vibe sort of thing. And so that's, I have no shortage of schematics in my computer that I've drawn. And trust me, there have been many where I'll order a circuit board thinking this is going to be great and it doesn't work. But I'm going to try to get into the modulation realm. But at the same time, I have so many overdrive ideas and different things and new takes on it, on circuits that we know and love that I think stand apart and are way more interesting to play. So I'm excited to like share some of those things. But the biggest thing that I'm going to start working on is more of just content creation and doing YouTube and vlogging and going places and like showcasing the life of I'm not the smallest pedal builder in the world, but I'm definitely not one of the big guys yet. So like documenting that kind of experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. We certainly watch our fair share of YouTubers and people doing that, just sharing their story, really.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see. And, you know, we live in an awesome time that we can do that.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, there's only so many, here's a Overdrive demo video, like videos that can be made without like starting just to get really, not boring, but it all sounds the same, you know?
Right.
So like, I think, and this is something that Rhett Scholl, he's really inspired me in a lot of ways. He says, you know, it's all about the story. So, you know, demo content's great, but like people aren't going to remember you because you played that one cool blues lick in A, you know, they're going to remember like, hey, remember when Mythos went to that place and did that thing? Like, yeah, you're
right. Exactly. And, I can personally admit I've watched way too many hours of Rhett Scholl's.
I've started them from the beginning and tried to watch them through to now. So it's a lot of content.
It's a lot of content, but it's all pretty good.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, Zach, thanks for being on the podcast, and as always, we wish you the best. We're excited about your brand. We have been, and it's been, you know, it's been one of our most popular brands in our store. So we're really excited, and thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I love that we have pedals up there in your shop, and that people, you know, coming to learn or just coming to try some new gear can check them out.
All right. Thanks. Zach.